This is a CBC podcast.
CBC podcasts are supported by HP Print Studio. Express your brand with HP Print Studio. Find free, customized templates to build your business identity, like letterhead, business cards, and shipping labels. Start the journey at www.hp.ca/print.
Hello, and welcome to the Vinyl Cafe podcast. We publish a new podcast every weekend. You can download the latest or subscribe to the Vinyl Cafe podcast at cbc.ca/podcasting. This week, Dave decides Kenny Wong should buy a new coffee machine.
It was a Friday morning, a couple of months ago. A couple of hours before lunch, Dave was sitting at the counter of his friend Kenny's cafe, Kenny Wong. Wong's Scottish meat pies. Things were slow in his record store, and Dave was bored. He'd wandered down the street thinking he'd have a coffee and a chat. And now he was sitting at the counter polishing off a cup of Kenny's rice pudding. And Kenny was nowhere to be seen. Kenny had gone to the food terminal for bok choy. Dave was talking with Yet-Sun, the cook, the only other person in the cafe. They were talking about Kenny. Kenny, who'd rather go to the food terminal four times a day than have bok choy wilt in his fridge. Kenny, the titan of tightness. Dave and Kenny had argued about this often. Cost you more in gas, said Dave. You gotta watch the pennies, said Kenny. No one watches pennies like Kenny Wong. A year ago, Kenny spent a week studying his take-a-penny, leave-a-penny tray. And at the end of the week, when he worked out he was losing maybe an average of 25 pennies a week, the tray vanished. Pennies add up, said Kenny. You're nuts, said Dave. You're going to miss a quarter a week? Pennies add up, said Kenny again. Kenny learned this at his father's knee. Old Henry Wong, who ran the Half Moon Cafe in Burnt Creek, Alberta. Henry had learned from his father, and they had learned their lesson well. It was in their DNA, never, ever waste. Oh yeah, Kenny is the real deal. He sits at his grandfather's oak desk, keeps it right in the middle of his cafe. The desk is so prominent that first-timers often pull a double take when they walk through the front door, wondering if they've wandered into an office instead of a restaurant. Kenny, sitting there at the desk, surrounded by his piles of paper and his calculator and the framed photos of his family and old newspapers and travel brochures for trips he'll never take and pamphlets for who knows what and his grandfather's abacus, which is somewhere under the piles, and, of course, his ever-present phone. Kenny, talking on the phone and waving at them, come in, and barking at the kitchen staff all at the same time. Kenny giving everyone the old 1-2 like he's an air traffic controller, not the owner of a neighborhood cafe. There is no one quite like Kenny Wong to make you glad that you're alive, which is why Dave has been so worried about him. Because all winter, Kenny hasn't been himself. You wouldn't know this if you didn't know him well, but Dave knows him as well as anyone. So Dave knew. He let it pass for a while, but after a while, he couldn't let it pass any longer. It's nothing. I'm okay, said Kenny. But it wasn't nothing. It was something. And eventually, like all things, it came out. Remember Ronnie Burnside, said Kenny one morning. This was another morning. Same time, though, 10:15. Same place, too. Dave sitting at the counter, scraping away at another empty bowl of rice pudding. Kenny at his desk this time. Ronnie Burnside, said Dave. Big guy, baseball hat? No, said Kenny, that's Eldon. Ronnie's the little guy with a big comb over. Comes in for coffee every morning, said Dave. Used to come in, said Kenny. You seen him recently? Come to think of it, said Dave. Because he doesn't come anymore, said Kenny. The other day I see him on the street. You know what he's carrying? A baby, said Dave. Worse, said Kenny. A latte. Kenny got up from his desk and walked behind the Formica counter and picked up a coffee pot from the Bun-O-Matic warmer. Reached for a thick white porcelain mug. No one wants coffee out of a cup like this anymore. They want, you know, I don't even know what they want. Lattes, said Dave. Whatever, said Kenny, shrugging morosely, swinging the coffee pot back and forth like a priest with a censer. Drops of coffee arcing all over the counter. Dave leaning to the left to avoid the spray. Kenny, finally noticing what he's doing, he says, I'm sorry. And he holds the pot up. You want a cup? I'm okay, said Dave, pointing at his sweatshirt. I've had enough. Lattes, said Kenny, shaking his head, discouraged. Kenny walked around the counter and he sat on the stool beside Dave, staring at his coffee intently. Neither of them said anything for a moment. Then Kenny said, it's getting harder. When they don't come for coffee, they don't come to eat either. Dave said, are you in trouble? Kenny shrugged. They sat at the counter for a while, and then when people started coming in, they moved to a table at the back. Kenny did most of the talking about the old days at the Half Moon. Everyone in town came to the Half Moon for their morning coffee. If a rancher had to leave town before the auctions were over, they'd ask Kenny's father to pick up their check and deposit in the bank for them. These were white guys, said Kenny. My father wasn't even allowed to vote in those days. They wouldn't have asked him to join the Elks, but they trusted him with their money. No one's ever asked me to do their banking, said Kenny. It was the middle of the afternoon before Dave finally left. He'd been gone from his store for hours, but he didn't go back there. He walked around for a while. He and Kenny are friends, but they're more than friends. They're both little guys trying to keep little businesses going in a world that doesn't favor little guys anymore. Dave used to believe that was their strength. The motto of his store said it all. We may not be big, but we're small. But if Kenny tripped and fell, how long before Dave stumbled? No wonder Kenny was depressed. How could a little neighborhood cafe keep afloat in a world of franchised coffee shops? Kenny was drowning in a sea of lattes. And now Dave was walking along the street thinking, a latte would go down really well right now. With cinnamon or chocolate? Cinnamon, thought Dave, and a teaspoon of sugar sprinkled on top of the foam so it created a crunchy crust. He couldn't, of course. It would be a betrayal, but it sure would clear his mind. By the time he opened his store, Dave was dying for a latte. There's a little Italian place in the west end of town, up by the train tracks where they unload boxcars full of grapes every fall. A warehouse built in an old railway station where all the old Italian guys come in their trucks and their station wagons and stuff them full of wooden crates of grapes for their homemade wine. 2 hours later, Dave walked out of the warehouse with a huge bronze cappuccino machine and stuffed it into the back of his car. Dave took it to Kenny's the next morning, early. Parked in front of the fire hydrant in front of the restaurant, bounced in and dragged Kenny out. Come on, he said, I need your help. Come on. The two of them humped the enormous cappuccino machine in and they stood it on the floor beside Kenny's desk. Kenny stared at it dubiously, at the black levers and the whirling copper pipes. What am I supposed to do with that, said Kenny. Try it, said Dave, see what happens. Okay, said Kenny, okay. They cleared a spot on the counter by the front door. It's beautiful, said Dave. Kenny didn't seem so sure. Come on, said Dave. Everyone's doing this. How hard can it be? What's the worst thing that can go wrong? Kenny was down on his knees. Kenny was staring at the guts of the huge copper dome. I'm going to need a plumber, said Kenny. Dave didn't go back to Kenny's for a couple of days. He didn't want Kenny feeling pressured. Didn't want Kenny to feel as if he was hovering over him. But he couldn't stand not going. He waited until he couldn't wait any longer, and then he headed over. Kenny wasn't at his desk. There was a boy Dave had never seen before standing beside the huge cappuccino machine. The boy was wearing a white apron and a starched white shirt. He had his sleeves rolled up. Dave sat at the counter. Where's Kenny? Kid shrugged. Dave said, I'll have a coffee. What kind? Asked the boy. Regular, said Dave. Boy stared at him blankly. Cream and sugar, said Dave. There's no actual regular, said the boy. I can do latte, espresso, Americano, cappuccino, mochaccino, frappuccino. Dave held up his hand. Dave said, I'll have a latte. Boy said, what size? Dave said, medium. Boy shook his head. I'm sorry, he said, we don't have medium. We have miniature, middling, and tubby. Tubby, said Dave. Who is going to order a tubby? Boy shrugged. Dave said, I'll have the middling. Boy reached out for a smallish cardboard cup. Dave frowned. That's kind of small for a middling, isn't it? Boy smiled and nodded. Boy said, that'll be a tubby then? Then he said, what kind of milk? Regular, 2% or skim? Regular, said Dave. Boy looked irritated. What, said Dave? I wasn't finished, said the boy. We also have goat milk and soy milk. Dave shook his head. Regular, said Dave. So, said the boy, medium, regular, regular latte. Dave nodded. You want a double shot, said the boy? It makes it stronger. Just regular, said Dave. Medium, regular, 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 said the boy. Dave nodded. Syrup? Syrup, said Dave. We have vanilla, hazelnut, almond, buttery caramel, peppermint, and rock cod. Rock cod, said Dave? That was a joke, said the boy. Just plain, said Dave. We have sugar-free, said the boy. Plain, said Dave. Medium, regular, 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 plain, said the boy. Right, said Dave. Foam, said the boy. Plain, said Dave. Whipped cream, said the boy. Dave shook his head. Extra hot, said the boy. Dave squinted. As opposed to original, tepid, or breezy, said the boy. I'll have the original, said Dave. The boy had been writing all this down. He looked down at his pad. A medium, regular, 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 plain, 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 no foam, original. Then the boy said, decaf or regular, said Dave. Boy wrote that down too. And Dave stood up and he said, okay. And he looked around the cafe. He said, okay again. And he started to walk toward the back. Okay, I get it, he said. Where are you? I know you're here somewhere. He was talking to Kenny, of course. Kenny was watching from the kitchen with three other regulars. Where'd you get the kids, said Dave. The college, said Kenny. He's in theater school. What took you? We've been waiting for 2 days. Very funny, said Dave. It was late now. Kenny's cafe was closed. They were sitting in Dave's record store, which was closed too. Dave was sitting in a small burgundy armchair by the cash. His shoes were off. Kenny was tilted back on a chair with his feet up on the counter, and there was a half a bottle of red wine right by Kenny's feet. There was some sort of jazzy saxophone playing softly in the background. That was pretty good, said Dave. But it didn't change anything. Made me feel good, said Kenny. That's a change. And, said Dave. And what, said Kenny. It's been a week, said Dave. And is it helping, the machine? A bit, said Kenny. But I'm not sure it fits my place. I have another idea, said Dave. Wow, said Kenny. That cheers me up. Dave showed up at Kenny's a week later with two huge cardboard cartons. Takeout cup, said Dave. I don't do takeout, says Kenny. You do now, said Dave. Dave pulled one of the boxes open. Look, he said. The cups were bright red with a yellow circle in the middle and big purple letters that read, Wong's Scottish Meat Pies. There is so free lunch. Check out the bottom, said Dave. Kenny turned the cup over. There was a piece of metallic tape. Scratch and win, said Dave. 12 of them say free lunch. Kenny, the titan of tightness, looked horrified. You want me to give away lunch, said Kenny. Just try, said Dave. 12 lunches are nothing. What'll it cost you? It'll cost nothing. And if it increases business, just try. Kenny sold his first takeout the next morning to Leon, a cop. Leon had just ordered a coffee when his radio went off, and Kenny said, I can put it in a takeout for you. Leon said, I didn't know you did takeout. Kenny said, there's a scratch and win. Leon was back the next day. Says, I want a free lunch, said Leon. Kenny swallowed and nodded. There was another winner on Thursday. 2 on Friday. By Monday, Kenny had developed a twitch in his left eye. I'm just tired, he said. On Wednesday, a couple of guys Kenny had never seen before came in and ordered takeout coffees. They were back at lunch because one of them had won. One of the regular guys from the bank who sit at a table in the front every lunch made a big deal of holding his china mug up and scratching the bottom with a spoon. Next morning, a guy came in and had a club sandwich and walked over to the cash and instead of paying, said, give me a coffee to go. Kenny reached for the cup with a sinking feeling. Kenny said, cream and sugar? The guy shook his head. The guy said, hold the cream and sugar. Then the guy reached out and took the cup from Kenny. He said, hold the coffee, too. Guy flipped the cup upside down and scratched, and then he smiled, and he handed the cup to Kenny, and he walked out without paying. I don't understand, said Dave. Which part don't you understand, said Kenny, who stutters when he gets really upset. Every second cup is a winner. He didn't add, you idiot. That part was implied. They must have had all the winners at the top and a bunch, said Dave. Just mix up the cups. Just mix up the cups, said Kenny with his eye fluttering wildly. Just great. I'll mix up the cups. Next day at lunch, Dave walked over to Kenny's thinking everything probably had settled down. And there was a lineup out the front door of the restaurant and down the street. Uh-oh, thought Dave. He tried to get in to see what was going on, but a guy at the front of the line stopped him. Back of the line, buddy. We've been waiting for an hour. A kid at the back of the line told him what was happening. It's a crazy promotion, he said. Every second cup, maybe more, is a winner. It's like free food in there. The restaurant was jammed and noisy, and there was food everywhere. Looked like a children's birthday party in there. As Dave watched through the window, Kenny burst out of the kitchen carrying 2 plates in each hand. As Kenny pushed across the crowded room, people were tugging at his elbow, trying to get his attention, and Kenny was twitching like a marionette. Dave headed back to his record store. He called the printer. What could have gone wrong? He'd asked for 12 winners. He had the invoice in front of him. You didn't ask for 12, you asked for 1 and 2, said the printer. There was a smudge on the paper between the 1 and the 2. The printer had read it as a ratio. As soon as he hung up, the phone rang again. It was Dorothy from Woodsworth's Books. Dorothy said, there's been an explosion at Kenny's. Dave threw the phone down and sprinted down the street. The cappuccino machine had blown. There were coffee grounds everywhere. There were also 2 cats on the counter lapping up the milk. Kenny was prostrate at his desk, weeping and twitching. His white shirt was damp and stained brown. The floor around his desk was littered with the takeout coffee cups, which had clearly been stomped and crushed. How can I help, said Dave. Don't need help, said Kenny, blinking like a wombat. Everything's just great. Then Kenny stood up and walked right through the crowd into the kitchen, moving like a zombie. Dave flew around the restaurant taking orders, serving people. 2 hours later, when the cafe had emptied, he went into the kitchen looking for Kenny. But Kenny wasn't there. Yetsun pointed at the back door. Kenny was in the alley. He had a fire going in an old oil drum. He was dropping the takeout cups into the fire, 1 by 1. That was more or less the end of it. The lineups disappeared, and the crowds thinned out, but not completely thinned out. Some of the new people kept coming back. The ones who don't like to be rushed over their coffee. The ones whose tastes might include a fried egg sandwich one day and Szechuan tofu the next. The ones who don't want to decide that before they sit down. Big businesses are always looking for growth and return on investment. People like Dave and Kenny know you can't keep getting bigger and bigger. People like Dave and Kenny thrive on diversity. All Kenny needed to get back in the black was a couple of new faces in his restaurant each day, and he got them. That and the added profits from the lattes, which Kenny still serves, charges $5 each. One small thing more. In a month or two, Dave is going to show up at Kenny's with an envelope full of cash from the till in his record store. "I'm going away tomorrow," he's going to say, "and I wonder if I can ask you a favor. Could you take it over to the bank for me?" Kenny will look at him and laugh. Kenny will say, "You are such a jerk." And Dave will say, "What are you talking about?" And he will hand him the envelope, and Kenny will take it and put it in his pocket, and he'll walk over to the bank just like he's been asked, thinking as he walks along the street that the world is a good place. And his grandfather would be proud of him and his little cafe, and would like it that he cooks rock cod in the old way, the way his father taught him, with fresh ginger and soy sauce and garlic and honey. That's what he'll be thinking of as he whistles out of the bank. And that's when he'll get his idea for next spring's promotion. It'll come to him right out of the blue as he's walking back. It'll be even grander than this year's. He'll hand out gift coupons with every latte, redeemable down the street at the little record store. A free record with every coffee. Thank you very much.
That's Stuart McLean, and that's from the Vinyl Cafe. Stuart McLean and the Vinyl Cafe will be heading out on tour this autumn. They'll be doing live Vinyl Cafe concerts in British Columbia, Ontario, Quebec, and the United States. They'll be making stops in Kelowna, Nanaimo, Duncan, Trail, Vernon, Prince George, Terrace, Kamloops, Abbotsford, Montreal, Kingston, Huntsville, North Bay, Sudbury, Chatham, Indianapolis, Indiana, Cleveland, Ohio, Mount Clemens, Michigan, and Seattle, Washington. You can log on to the Vinyl Cafe website for a complete list of shows. You can find the Vinyl Cafe on the web at vinylcafe.com.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.